From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. More than 10,000 people living in apartments near the World Trade Center became homeless after the September 11th attacks. Some still can't return home. They're living in hotels or staying with relatives. The apartment building that was nearest to Ground Zero is 600 Gateway Plaza in Battery Park City. All the windows were blown out on the side facing the Twin Towers. Rubble and wreckage filled the rooms. Three families who had lived at Gateway Plaza spoke with NPR's Margo Adler about their lives and their future.
Larry Rosen is a partner at a Wall Street law firm. His apartment faced the Twin Towers. Evacuated on September 11th, he was allowed to return for 10 minutes 6 days later. Debris was everywhere.
Metal and glass and plastic and paper and soot and ash, anything that was in or was the World Trade Center is in my apartment. It was my apartment.
He shifts back and forth from present to past tense. But when I first enter his office, the first thing he shows me is a drawing of the towers by his 8-year-old son. Smoke is billowing from one building, and the word doomed is written in a childish hand across the top. He says his son still can't be alone. I don't want my child in a situation where he feels doomed, he said. Further uptown, in a small apartment near Union Square, the Davis family is camped out. There's Judy, a stay-at-home mom, Alan, a trader at the New York Mercantile Exchange, and Sam, who is 4.
I showed him the video.
You gonna
watch
it?
Not yet. I don't want to watch it yet.
Once Sam is out of the room, Judy says she was one of the first residents at Gateway Plaza. She's lived there for almost 20 years. She and Alan met in the World Trade Center.
In the summer, we had all the parks and everything. In the winter, the kids would go play in the World Trade Center, in the financial center. They'd go in the atrium and go up and down the stairs. He learned how to climb stairs and walk in there.
Now the neighborhood is gone. The Davises are luckier than some. Their insurance will pay for 3 months of rent. Their current rent is 3 times what they were paying. If they decide not to return, the LEFRAC organization that owns Gateway Plaza will give them 5 months to break their lease without penalty. The Tenants Association is fighting for more time. But the Davises aren't sure they will move back. Their apartment faced north, not directly facing the towers, but their windows were open. We go for a look. The morning is sunless, windless, and humid, and the air positively reeks. A layer of dust, sometimes up to 1/2 inch, covers everything. We're all wearing masks, so our speech is a bit muffled. Judy touches the computer printer.
It's full of something. They're not taking it. I don't care. It's so overwhelming. Every time I come here, I just go, where do you start?
They fill bags with stuffed animals, Winnie the Pooh, Arthur, all to be thrown away.
Tuesday, October.
I pick up things and I think, do I want to take this or can I take this? And there's a lot of things I don't even want to touch, really.
I don't know if we should be taking these things out.
All his teddy bears and stuff like that he grew up with, he's only 4 now, they're all going to have to be trashed. We're not going to wash them and give them to him because we don't know what's in them.
Although air quality at Ground Zero has been found to contain some worrisome carcinogens, health officials have said the air in Battery Park City is reasonably safe. But the Davises, like most tenants, worry about long-term exposure, and they worry about the dust. Some health officials have advised children not to play outside. That doesn't sound livable. Ellen Davis's job at the Mercantile Exchange takes him near Ground Zero every day.
You know, I sit back and I say, I'm happy that we're alive. Do I want to move? Absolutely. Do I really want to live in New York again? I don't think so. Yesterday, a colleague of mine who's been on the exchange for over 20 years decided he couldn't take it anymore working down there and decided not to come back anymore. I might be soon behind him.
Unlike the Davises, Larry Rosen, the Wall Street lawyer, is not debating whether to stay or leave. He moved his family to New Jersey 2 weeks after the attacks, but he feels guilty.
You know, we were very active down there. I was on the board for the Little League, and I had my own team. I sponsored a team. In fact, there's my team right there on the, there's a picture over there. I feel as if, you know, we should be there. We should be there with everybody else that elected to stay and to stand strong and to stand united with them and, you know, to come through this together as a community. And I feel almost ashamed about that at some level because, we did bail. We're gone. I just couldn't see trucks pulling out charred remains of the Trade Center, you know, right across the street. And after that, 2 years of rebuilding the community, construction, You know, it's just not anything that I wanted my kids or myself or my wife to be exposed to for the foreseeable future.
At the end of the interview, it comes up again. I want to apologize to my neighbors for leaving so quickly, he says. I hope they understand. When Sanford and Adele Pels think about their home at 600 Gateway Plaza, unlike the Rosens or the Davises, they can't wait to return. That's true for their twin 8-year-old boys as well. Adele Pels.
When you say home, let's go home, as we so often do, they jump to attention. So I try not to say let's go home. Home to the apartment? Are we going home? And you can see they get their hopes up.
When Sanford Pels, a college guidance counselor at a private school, and his wife, a high school French teacher, went back to the apartment 6 days after the attacks, he rescued the hamster, gave the goldfish food, and took checkbooks, medicines, and other essentials. The Pels were lucky. They are staying in the apartment of a parent who is away. They were already at work when the towers were hit and collapsed. They saw nothing. Unlike the Davises, whose son is still not back in his real school, their twin boys are in a school further uptown that experienced no disruptions. Their apartment does not face the World Trade Center, and their windows were closed. There is only a fine layer of dust. They point to a picture of their 8-year-olds.
They're twins. That picture with the twin towers in the background was a picture we used for a Christmas card last year. And when Christopher looks at that picture, he looks at the first building and he says, "That's me." And that building over there with the tower on top of it, that's my brother Jonathan.
The Pels worry about the air quality, the boys have a mild case of asthma, and they understand the fears and emotions that have led some of their neighbors to pull up stakes for good.
But for us, we need to go home. We just need to.
The neighborhood is a beautiful neighborhood. I feel like in a year, it's going to look very different. The life is going to come back. The people are going to come back. I trust that many of them will come back.
But what about living next to Ground Zero? I ticked off all the things that others had said, living near a bomb site, walking with children past a mass grave.
I think Adele and I have resorted to thinking of the site as sacred ground rather than a big grave site.
A lot of lives were lost there, innocent lives, and it is sacred ground. It's a special, special place. And I hope I can have the boys feel that way. I want them to feel that that's a special place and it needs to be respected.
Although other Gateway Plaza buildings have reopened, 600 Gateway is not among them, and a date has not been set. While there are no hard figures for what percentage of people are staying, the phrase I kept hearing was one-third are leaving, one-third are staying, and one-third are struggling to make up their minds. One woman told me, "I'm thankful to be alive, but when I think of the loss of my home and my community and my neighborhood, I'm sad all the time." One day, she said, "I walked into a store and they were soliciting funds for the World Trade Center victims, and I stopped and thought, wait a minute, I'm a victim too." Margot Adler, NPR News, New York.